In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 29, April 2nd, 1931. And let's see here. Before we start, we're going to take a break for the summer. And one of the things that is really important is that we learn how to pray the rounds. This is essential for the divine will, praying the rounds, learning. And again, a wonderful book is at luisapicaretta.me. You can download it. It's everything that Jesus taught Luisa about the rounds. Everything that she would say, she would do, she would think is found here. When we learn how to respond back to God with the rounds, I love the Easter rounds, Easter Pentecost rounds that you can pray right up until Christ the King, Feast of Christ the King. It's essential. We're going to go into some really interesting and difficult times. Nothing to be afraid of. We were as Saint Joan of Arc said, we not to be afraid. We were born for this time, and God is with us. That God is with me is very, very important to pray continuously, because a lot of times we feel that we're alone. A lot of times that we feel that we're separated from God, and we're not. He breathes in our breathing. He beats in our heart beating. And in the divine will, he wants to give us more than what he gave to the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God, and Jesus now teaches Luisa how to live in the will of God. And to live in the will of God isn't just doing your devotional life and then you're done. Now we can play golf. Now we can have fun. No, it's entering into this gift so that we're one with God. He is gazing in our gazing. He is speaking in our speaking. He is listening in our listening. He's fully Lord of every thought, word, and deed, our intellect, memory, and will. So today we're going to focus on April 29th, volume 29, April 2nd, 1931. And Jesus says, do you want to know how the light of my divine will is formed in your soul? So here, this is why I love the book of heaven. Jesus is always teaching. He's always giving us these truths, this knowledge of how to live in the divine will. It's when you know you're a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, you have a book to go through. This is shows you how to tie the knots, shows you how to cook, shows you how to trap. It shows you it's a way and how to be a Boy Scout, to be a Girl Scout. I mean, as a child, that was. That book that we had, the Boy Scout book manual, was just really astonishing. Always learning. Okay, this is how you tie this knot. Oh, this is how you tie a knot that doesn't slip. Jesus says, do you want to know how this light, this life, this love of God, of my divine will is formed in your soul? And we should be at that point where we want to say, yes, I want to know this. I want to possess this. And again, it's essential that we do this. So it's the repeated desires, Jesus says, are like many breaths that breathing over your soul, call this little flame, this little drop of light to light up inside of the soul. So to live in the divine will is your desire. This is why when we discipline ourselves to do our prevenient act in the morning, as soon as we wake up, as soon as we open our eyes, it's to Lord, I want to surrender to you. There's a lot of, I've seen a lot of formulas, a way in the how, pray your prevenient act in the morning. I've seen some 4 pages long. You gotta pray this in the morning. No. It's your heart. your heart, your mind, your soul. It's falling in love with God. And as soon as you wake up in the morning, yes, Lord, you know, this is the light of the day. I want to be fused with you, triune God. So this desire that we have to be fused with God is essential. And Jesus explains how this fusion takes place. When you read your writings, read the writings of Louisa, this fusing of yourself with the triune God and fusing yourself with now the new Adam and the new Eve and the newborn. When you learn what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa, everything becomes easier. Everything becomes more joyful, more peaceful, more happy. It's a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II talks about. So you do your prevening act in the morning. Your what is your desire? I want to pray in the name of everyone and everything. I want you, Lord, to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that you, God, rightly deserve. You're the one who deserves our praise, our glory. I mean, your glory from us. This is what's so beautiful about the divine will. It's what we're doing on earth is we're always applauding performances, you know, music, art, theater. What Jesus shows us is the only one to be really applauded is God. And look what he has done in creation, to breathe in this, all the divine, I love you is all around you, to want to find something that no one has ever done. No one ever, you see, an insect that is, you know, magnificent in its structure, to find, a flower that, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, you are so amazing. Holy Spirit, I want to begin to praise you as you, as God, should be deserving of all praises, especially to our Heavenly Father. Our Lady, you know, thank you for being my mother, my queen. You are the one who Jesus has given us to. Louisa, I want to learn everything that Jesus taught you. So as we wake up in the morning, this breath, this heartbeat, this desire has to, Jesus has to hear this from us. Why does he do this? Because he says that I have to give you what you want. A lot of people separate themselves from God and begin to live a life of hell. And how do we get out of this? How do we get out of this hell that we're in? And it's to begin to understand the love of God, the glory of God, and to praise him, to love him, to bless him, which the rounds show us what to do or how to do this is essential. So he says the repeated desires. Okay, so think about your prevening act in the morning, and then your actual acts throughout the day. Jesus will ask you, say you're washing the dishes. Jesus will say, why are you washing the dishes? And it's, oh, to adore you, to love you, to praise you for every bubble that's in the sink, for every cup, every plate, every spoon, every fork, every knife. I want to adore you and love you and praise you in the name of all humanity. Whoever washed a dish, a cup, silverware, whoever did this, from Adam to the last person way in the future, I want to adore you in their name. I want you to hear, their, I love you with my voice. I praise you with my voice. So what's happening is you're entering into this life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Jesus and Mary took the place of us. And one of the things I heard just recently is the it is finished. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And a lot of people just go, well, it's over. No, but the way the Greek word finished, it is finished, is it's a business, it's a judgment, it's military. It's threefold. So when Jesus said it is finished, he says basically the debt, financially, the debt this business is completed. It's done. It's fulfilled. I took the place of humanity. The punishment due to us was taken by Jesus. It's fulfilled. It's done. It's finished. The sentence, the judgment, the sentence is fully served. He was judged guilty for our sins. Okay. And then finally, the military is, the battle is fully won. Jesus has taken our place. He is victorious, and we with Jesus are victorious. When we understand that when the word is spoken, it's full, it's complete. And you know, how many of us ever thought when Jesus says it is finished, this threefold understanding of the business, of the judgment, of the military? It's the same thing when we read the book of heaven. Jesus has always expanded our capacity on this word that he speaks. So he says, your desires, your repeated desires, I are like many breaths breathing over your soul. This breath of God, this Ruah of God, this is what God wants. He wants us to enter into this abundant life. He says, it's this little flame of your love, this little drop of light, lights up inside of the heart, the mind, the soul, your intellect, memory, and will. And the more intensely you desire, Jesus says, the more it breathes to nourish the little flame, it enlarges it more. So when Jesus speaks to us, the word of God speaking to us, in sacred scripture, what does the two on the way to Emmaus say? They said, weren't our hearts on fire listening to Jesus explain the sacred scriptures to us and showing us where he, the Lord God Almighty, was mentioned all throughout sacred scripture. And now it's the same thing. When we read the book of heaven, Jesus is expanding for us sacred scripture. He's explaining in detail how he is calling us to live at this time, with this peace, joy, and happiness, to live heaven on earth. So again, when I find souls that are miserable, afraid, want souls that are worried, I know immediately they're not ready. You can't be afraid. You can't be, upset if you're reading the book of heaven. Jesus is expanding your capacity to understand this word that he speaks, who he is, this life, this light, this love. So he says to us, what is your desire? Okay. Now, all of us, scripture says in Galatians, all of us fall short of the glory of God. We go to confession each week. Why? Because we realize that this little flame that we have can go out at any moment. And to keep it burning, to keep it expanding to the sun of the divine will, the S-U-N of the divine will, entering into that sun, that life, that light of God, participating in God, which we're called to do. This is what the divine will is. We recognize that we have to, we have been redeemed, but now Jesus wants to sanctify us. So this, come Holy Spirit, hurry, come Holy Spirit. May every soul, may every human, know the divine will, love the divine will, and possess the divine will. Why do we say this? Because this is what Jesus taught Louisa, to know the divine will, to love the divine will, and possess the divine will. The saints were to know, love, and serve God. We are to, as Jesus tells Louisa, to know, love, and now possess God. What's this possession? It's to be in God's image and likeness, to be like him. That's why scripture says what we are now is children of God. What we will become, we do not know, but what we do know is we will become like him because we will see him as he is. So this desire, it's got to be your heartbeat. It's got to be your breath. It's got to be constant. And again, the way to do this is by learning the rounds. The way to do this is by with your prevening act in the morning and then your actual acts throughout the day. Why are you taking a walk? For every step, I want to adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. For in the name of everyone and every human being that ever walked, for every one of their steps, I want to love you, God. I want to praise you, God, with your I love you, with your praise. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, desire in my desiring. Jesus, love in my loving. You become alive in me. When this happens, everything in us changes. Everything begins to change in us. That is this new and divine way of holiness. So this little flame, this love that we have for God is just a flicker. He says, will light up inside of our soul the more intensely we desire, the more it breathes to nourish this little flame, to enlarge it more, to have it enter into the sun. See, God says, what do you want to do with this love that you have, this desire that you have? And Jesus says, my desire is that you enter and become one with me, fuse with me as children of God, as the sons and daughters of God. Jesus says, the King, the Lord, the Heavenly Father, he wants us to participate one with him. The fun that we have as we read is every now and then God says, I want you to look like me, Jesus says. The Father says, I want you to resemble the Father. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So why did he breathe into the dust? He breathed into the dust his image and likeness. So what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And we have to go back to what was Adam's DNA. I mean, a lot of times we just think of Adam. Well, Adam was a man. No, Adam was in God's image and likeness. And when Adam sinned, when he failed, we had to be redeemed. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to earth to redeem us. Why did Jesus come to the earth to redeem us? He came to earth to redeem us so that we can now be sanctified. And that's where we are at. This third fiat is sanctification. And he wants us to so possess him that the closer you get to the Lord, the more you don't want to leave. So when you go to Holy Communion, if it's possible every day, a Holy Mass and receive Holy Communion, this communion with God, this oneness with God, Jesus says, is to prepare the soul for the perennial communion that Adam had, that Adam lost. The perennial communion that Jesus had with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The perennial communion that Our Lady had with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This oneness with God. So God breathed into the dust his image and likeness. So what was his DNA like? What was the DNA of Adam? It was the DNA of the image and likeness of God, and he lost it. So 4,000 years later, Jesus tells us that Jesus and Mary come to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. What is their DNA like? Okay, what is God calling us to? When we think of Assumption, the Feast of the Assumption, Jesus says, this is Our Lady's glory being assumed into heaven. But at the same time, it's what we're going to receive as well. Where Our Lady has gone, the church says, we will one day hope to be there with her. Ascending Assumption, if you want to say, into heaven. So what is God doing? He's asking us to begin to live heaven on earth. See, Jesus says, I rose from the dead so that you will rise from the dead now before you die. So what does that mean? He shows us that when that litter came out and the only son of a widowed mother is dead, he goes over and touches the litter and the boy comes back to life. And then he says to Louisa, this is what I want to do with humanity. I want to bring humanity to true life, abundant life, because where we are right now is living dead. I mean, this skin, this body that we have is food for worms. the body that we're going to receive is like the body of Jesus and Mary, the glorified body of Jesus, the glorified body of Mary. So Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to live this life of heaven before you die. Basically, he says, if you wait, it's going to be a long time in purgatory. We have to be purged of everything that is against the holy humanity of Jesus and Mary. You have to be purged of that. What the divine will does now is it with us is the divine will purges us of our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. This fallen nature, even though we have been redeemed, we have the sacraments and sacramentals. And Jesus says, now I want to give my children more, bring them back to where they were before the fall, this new and divine way of holiness that the saints didn't know about. Why? They didn't have Louisa. Louisa is the one. Louisa is the newborn, the firstborn, the first daughter of Adam, if you want to say, that now has what Adam lost. And how did she get it? With the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary. So it's not only what Adam possessed, but now what Jesus possessed and Mary possessed. This is why we have a devotion to Jesus and Mary. This is coming up this week. We have to, I mean, do you want to know, he says, how? Do you want to know the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary? Do you want to know what this is about? This new Adam and this new Eve? Do you want to know about this fire that's coming from heaven? It's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through the little newborn, Louisa. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this second Pentecost, the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It's where we're very close to this. You have to understand what God has planned. He says to Louisa, and when Louisa says, when's this going to happen? And Jesus says, it's very close. And she says, I don't see it. And Jesus basically says to Louisa at this point, what's coming? He says, you have to know that it's coming soon. And she says, how? He says, when I speak, when I say something, it has to happen. What the Book of Heaven is what Jesus telling us the way and how, like this, the manual of what is coming and how to live this. How to tie these knots, how to build the fire, how to, you know, it's the way and the how of the kingdom of God established in us on earth as it is in heaven. And as we read, as we study, he keeps on expanding it so that all the sacred scripture, all our dogma and doctrine becomes alive. It's not something that's, oh, that was nice. That was really nice. I don't understand it, but that was nice. It's where most people are. It's Jesus says, no, I want you to live this life. I want you to possess this life. I want you to have heaven now before you die. So what this Book of Heaven is doing, Jesus says very, very clearly, the more intensely that you desire this, the more it breathes, the more it nourishes the little flame and enlarges it so that it can enter into the sun, S-U-N, of the divine will, this new and abundant life that really isn't new at all. It's the life that Adam had, but even more than that, it's the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus says, if breath ceases, holy cow, if breath ceases, there is danger that the little flame will be extinguished. So think about it. If you're not praying the rounds, Jesus says, if you're not doing your acts and your rounds in the divine will, slowly but surely it will die. You'll lose it. I've had some good friends who, I mentioned this before, but they were really involved in the divine will, and then they got involved in other things. And, you know, it's the books are there, but the books are filled with dust, and it's, when you understand what this Book of Heaven is, you can't put it down. This is why the calendar is so essential. I really believe the more that you read, oh, I haven't got time. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Yes, Jesus says, he says, I'm looking for the souls that make the divine will their priority. I'm looking for the souls who want the divine will more than anything. Well, there's good. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Yes, 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 that's true. But what Jesus wants, he says to Louisa, is I want souls that resemble you, Louisa. I want souls that are focused on this great gift of the divine will. You know, the pictures that we have of Louisa, she always has the book of heaven next to her with a rosary in her hand. It's Jesus and Mary, if you want to say. When we look at Louisa, she's reading the book of heaven. You know, when we copied the books in the secret archives of the Vatican, her thumbprints were etched onto the page. She studied this. And that's why he says, I'm looking for souls that resemble you, Louisa. Why is he doing this? It's because she resembles Jesus and Mary. She's not an old woman in bed. She's the little newborn. And we have to begin to see who Louisa really is. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Jesus says very clearly over and over to Louisa, is Louisa and the divine will. They can't be separated. It's Louisa and the divine will. It's like the Franciscans trying to be Franciscans without Francis. It doesn't work. If you're trying to live in the divine will without Louisa, without knowing Louisa, without possessing Louisa, without reflecting Louisa, it's not going to work. I've heard people say, well, Louisa did her job. Now I'm going to do my job. I go, what job do you have? You know, she is the newborn, the firstborn. And as God wanted Adam to be the father of all humanity, he's now said to us, because of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, now the firstborn, Louisa, is going to be the mother of all the little children, the holy divine will. Mary is queen and mother of all of humanity. But Louisa becomes, Jesus says, the little tiny mother of the little tiny children of the divine will. It's like Mother Angelica, you know, being part of her community. Mother Gabriel, part of her community. It's God is asking us to let go of the things of this earth to embrace the things of heaven. This is our desire. This is the incessant desires are needed, Jesus says, in order to mature and enlarge the light, the love needed that contains the seed of light. Be fruitful and multiply, Jesus says. This seed, this life, this light, this love of God is going to blossom. Now, Jesus tells Louisa that when we look at the fruit trees and we see all the flowers on the fruit trees, he says, that's the saints. He says, now is the time for the fruit. And why is the fruit more important than the flowers? Because there's seed in it to produce more trees, more fruit. When God says be fruitful and multiply, it says to be like God. Okay, not to be God, but to be like God, to be the regeneration that's happening with the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven, to not only just blossom, that's 1 through volume 10, but to become the fruit hanging on the tree, that's volume 11 through volume 19, in order to have the fruit, and that is volume 20 through volume 36, to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, to live this abundant life that was breathed into Louisa. So why is he using breath? It's very, very clear. He says, the light of the little flame, this incessant desires are needed. This breath, I want more than anything to be back one with God, to go return to the womb of the Father. This returning to the womb of the Father is essential for humanity. We're not to live on our own. We're not to be separated from God. He breathed into us his image and likeness so that we could be one with him, that we could, even though it seems we're doing it, God in us is doing this. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, a dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life in the name of all of humanity, past, present, and future. So it would be as if all of humanity received you. And when we read the Book of Heaven, the joy that we experience is like the joy of the two on the road to Emmaus. It's to begin to understand how God has everything planned, even in our life. We're going to thank God when we get to heaven for everything that we've gone through, even the sorrow and the suffering, because Jesus says to Louisa, this is part of developing who you are. The sorrow and the suffering is crucifixion. And when we go through physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, which we all do to a greater or lesser degree, the person next to us, it's essential for us. It's not to, you know, it's not doom and gloom. It's Lord, you want me. See, we are wild, you know. My sister has this little puppy, and she goes, I think it's possessed. She goes, it's all over the place, you know. And it's this. It has to be tamed. We have to be tamed. And in the more that we are reading, the more Jesus is putting us in order, the more he is putting us back to where we rightly belong, not out of order, but in order. And this taming that he does with us is a lot of times through the suffering that we have to go through, being in the hospitals, you know, not being able to take care of yourself. This is God's way of taming us. Because a lot of times if we did not go through difficulties, we would be going to hell. So God stops us. He doesn't want to lose us. And if he has to reprimand us, good. That's what he has to do. And this is why when we get to heaven, we're going to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I was going to die at this point and you prevented it. I was going to go to hell at this point and you prevented it. And we're going to thank God, praise God, love God, glorify God, but in his great wisdom, he's going to take care of each and every one of us. He's got it all planned. He says to Louisa, you're not here one moment longer or shorter than what I, God, have planned for you. One moment longer or shorter. Everything is in the plan of God. And the more that we can surrender to him, the happier we're going to be. So he says, in vain would you breathe with your desires if the inflammable material were missing over your repeated breaths. So he says, it would be useless to breathe with your desires if this inflammable material were missing, if this spark of life were missing over your repeated breath. So he's saying, what I'm going to teach you is how to bring to life the desires that you have. Why? Because they're his desires. It's to get rid of the human misery, to get rid of the human passions in order to live the life, the desires of Jesus and Mary. What happens at that point, going back to suffering, is we begin to understand the suffering that Jesus and Mary went through. And at this point, a lot of the locutionists and visionaries and those who have apparitions, they see Our Lady and Our Lord suffering, you know, tears of oil, tears of blood. It's because they know that their children, if they don't turn back, will burn eternally. And they don't want any of their children to be lost. And like Jesus said, when he was scourged at the pillar, the particles, his flesh that was torn off of him, was the souls that would be lost eternally. And it pained him the suffering that he went through. So Jesus is saying, if you didn't have within you this life, this light, this love of God, the divine will, this material that burns, if it was missing, it would be, you know, it would be no use for you to be desiring life, light, and love. He says, but what he breathed into us at the moment of our conception, if you want to say, is this life of God. So he says, but who places this little flame in safety in such a way as to render it everything with no danger of being extinguished? So now this is the sadness that God goes through. Who is protecting this flame so it won't go out? Who is keeping this flame alive? He says, it's the acts done in my divine will. The souls who are recognizing the love of God in creation, the souls that are recognizing the love of God in redemption, the souls that are giving this I love you in creation redemption back to God, which is his I love you. We breathe this in and breathe it back to God. It's only the souls who are doing their acts and their rounds in the divine will. So when you think about it, you think of your parish. How many in your parish go to daily mass? How many in your parish pray the rosary, wear the scapular? How many in your parish have the book of heaven? So Jesus says, would you do this for them? Would you do this for them? He says, at this point, they're occupied, if you want to say, with the things of the world, the flesh and the devil. And he says, I want them to be occupied with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you do this for them? Would you prepare and redo? And again, when we do our acts and our rounds in the divine will, it's to understand that the suffering in the world is offending God. And the first thing we have to do is thank you for waking me up. Thank you for letting me see this. Number one. Number two, I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. And number three, I want to repair this as if it never happened. I want to redo this in the holy divine will as if it never happened. This is the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle them the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. How? By this repairing, redoing. Jesus says, I couldn't give you a greater gift than the gift of the divine will. To renew the face of the earth, to redo all that is going on, to give God all the glory, honor, all the honor, all the praise that he as God so rightly deserves. These are the acts done in the divine will. These are the rounds done in the divine will. When you enter into the kingdom of the divine will, the rounds, when you really begin to focus on this, it's I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. It's heaven. You begin to participate heaven on earth. That's why Jesus said, I rose from the dead now so that you will rise from the death of the human misery to begin to live heaven. He says, the souls who do their acts on the rounds of the divine will take the material for lighting the little flame of our eternal light, which is not subject to being extinguished. And they keep it always alive, always growing. It's the desire to be with our Eucharistic Lord. It's the desire to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Jesus says, when we do this, it's getting us ready for the perennial communion that heaven is all about. Never to be separated from God, walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening. He says very clearly, They're the ones, these souls who are doing the divine will, they take the material for lighting the little flame of our eternal light, this great gift of the divine will, which is not subject to being extinguished. And they keep it always alive, always growing. This is what he's looking for. He says, I'm looking for the souls who want the divine will more than anything. Hopefully that's us. I want the divine will more. I want to know everything that you taught Louisa. I want to put into practice everything you taught, Louisa. I want to know this, love this, and possess this. This It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what you're reading in the book of heaven. And again, what Jesus is saying, you will always keep it alive, always growing with your desire. The human will before this light eclipses itself and becomes blind. This is what's great. The human will is attracted to the things of the earth, the flesh and the devil. Jesus says, the human will before the light of the divine will, this light that's within us, that God wants us to become aware of, eclipses itself and becomes blind. And seeing itself blind, it no longer feels the right to act, and it gives peace to the poor soul. The peace, the joy, the happiness. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no sin. Wait to see what's coming. And Jesus is going to say, are you worried? Are you panicking? Are you upset? Are you afraid? What Jesus is going to do is he's going to show us that the human will is going to eclipse itself and become blind. It's going to see itself blind. It's going to no longer feel the right to be in control of the right to act in us. And it gives the peace, the joy, the happiness to us, which is heaven. We begin to live heaven now as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. Let the Lord speak. Let the Lord lead you, guide you, and direct you as you're reading. Listen to him. I mean, don't snap your fingers saying, I want to know now. It's like, you're not ready. None of us are ready. God is going to teach us very slowly, very patiently. And when we give our fiat, God goes, good, I'll lead you to more. So he said, therefore, Jesus says, do not fear. I myself, Jesus says, will help you to breathe. And we will breathe together. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Dance in my dancing. Sing in my singing. Why? So the little flame, he says, that has been put into us at the moment of conception will be more beautiful and more effulgent. It's going to be in God's image and likeness. It's going to be what God has planned from the beginning of time. He wants us to share in divinity. He wants us to eat this first bread, the bread that Adam had, the bread that Jesus and Mary ate, the new Adam and the new Eve, the one that they gave to Louisa and now wants to give to us. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. When things get tough and you become afraid, read the book of heaven. Go to the letters of Louisa. Read the letters of Louisa. There's great peace in that. It's going to get tough, but we were created for this time. It's going to be, as he says, this little flame within you is going to be more beautiful and more refulgent as we read, study, and put this into practice. We'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, and their families, that they be divinely healed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.